Monday, October 1st, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back again on this Monday to discuss the world of sports with what is a dose of common sense that is desperately needed these days in the sports media world. You know, I hope that you enjoyed your weekend. It was a fun weekend of sports. There's a lot of things to watch. Some good college football on Saturday. We had the Ryder Cup rolling all weekend. We had the NFL going yesterday. Major League Baseball is actually finally getting interesting. And hey, don't look now. And I know it's still very early, but the NHL and NBA preseasons are already starting as well. And yes, it's way too early to start watching that stuff, but it's coming. Just know it is out there and it is coming because it is now October 1st and it is a fun and busy time of year in the world of sports. Hey, and don't forget, tonight we have some Major League Baseball that we're going to be talking about here in a few minutes. We also have a big Monday Night Football game in my hometown as my Denver Broncos host the Kansas City Chiefs in a Western Division rivalry game. And yes, I expect the Chiefs to lay, I don't know, like a 20-point win on the Broncos. But hey, there are now things to watch pretty much every single night of the week. And that, my friends, is a wonderful thing. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know what you spent your time watching over the weekend. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion for us. We would love to hear from you. And it doesn't have to be about a national story. Maybe you've got a question about a specific team, a specific player. Hit us up. We would love to hear from you. We will always get back to you. Hey, today on the show, we will, of course, be talking about some of the things that we learned over this weekend in sports because it's never enough just to watch. We want to watch and take something from it. There were some crazy things that took place this past weekend in the world of sports. I hope you were lucky enough to witness some of them. We're going to discuss a few things that we learned today, and let's get started in the world of Major League Baseball. I know. We don't talk a whole lot of baseball here, primarily because I don't want to put you to sleep, and also, I don't want you to hear me fall asleep while I'm on the microphone. So, we don't talk a whole lot of baseball, but now, baseball is starting to get interesting, because that 9-month season or whatever is finally over. And now we are getting to the postseason where baseball actually matters. And you know what I learned over the weekend was we learned that the Major League Baseball postseason is now set. Well, it's sort of set. It's not completely set, but it's kind of set. I'll explain what I mean because we actually have not one, but two tiebreakers coming and they're coming today. Like, I don't know when you're listening to this, but it could be in a few minutes. Or it could be already underway. The Chicago Cubs and the Milwaukee Brewers will play a one-game playoff today in Chicago, 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, to see which team is the National League Central winner and which team will be the wild card. Then, at 2 p.m., we will have the Colorado Rockies going to Los Angeles to face the Dodgers to see who is the National League Western champ. Now, the losers of these games are going to face each other Tuesday night, and either Chicago or Milwaukee will be the host of that wild card game. We know the Atlanta Braves did win the National League East, but as much as the playoffs is set, we still have to see who wins these tiebreakers, and then who wins the wild cards to see how the National League is actually going to line up. Over on the American side, it's more of a clear picture. The Oakland A's will go to New York to face the Yankees in their wild card game on Wednesday. The winner will then be facing the Boston Red Sox in the American League Divisional Series. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Indians and the Houston Astros will be facing off in the other ALDS. Hey, like I said, Major League Baseball finally getting interesting. Going to be some fun things to watch over the next few weeks in Major League Baseball. Let's shift over to the NFL because, you know, for all the surprises that we saw last week, you'll remember, we saw a number of upsets last week. The Giants beat the Houston Texans. The Detroit Lions beat the New England Patriots. The Tennessee Titans beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. And maybe the biggest upset of them all, the Buffalo Bills beat the Minnesota Vikings last week. But you know what? In week four, we kind of learned that things returned more to normal, as they usually do. Now, you might see an aberration every week or so in the NFL, but it's not usually the rule. And it seemed like this past week in the NFL, in week four, we saw the rule more standard across the board. The teams we expected to win, they usually won. We had some blowouts early, but we did still learn some interesting things this week in the NFL. You know, not sure if you remember this, but do you remember when Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay was busted with illegal prescription meds a few years ago? He got pulled over. He had a bunch of medication that he wasn't supposed to have. Not sure if you remember that. Well, we learned on Sunday that Jim Irsay is apparently sharing his stash with his head coach Frank Reich. Oh, stop it. You know you were thinking it too. On Sunday, Frank Reich had to be, I don't know, stoned out of his mind or something, because he made a coaching move that literally made no sense whatsoever. The Indianapolis Colts got beat in overtime by the Houston Texans on Sunday, and they should have had no worse than a tie. The Colts and the Texans had exchanged field goals in overtime. Then the Colts took possession of the ball on their own 25-yard line, less than 2 minutes to play. Okay, go score, or this is going to be a tie, right? The Colts did manage one first down. Then they faced a 4th and 4 at their own 43-yard line, just 24 seconds left in the game. Hey, I know when we face 4th and 4s on our own 43 in like Madden video games, we just go for it. Hey, I'm going to get this. I don't even care. I'm going to go win this thing right now. And you go for it, right? Yeah, the NFL isn't actually a Madden video game. And as crappy as it is, you punt the ball and you take the tie. Now, I know Frank Reich came out and he said, "We're not settling for any ties. We're going to go try to win." But what you basically did was you made the game come down to one play, that 4th and 4. And if you don't complete that 4th and 4, then you're probably going to lose the game. And that's exactly what happened. You know, initially, the Colts ran up to the line like they were going to go for that 4th down. They tried to draw Houston offsides with a hard count, but it didn't work, so they took a timeout. And you're thinking, okay, cooler heads will prevail. They're going to punt this thing. This is going to end up in another stupid tie. Well, if you're Frank Reich, apparently it's not going to end up in a tie, because the Colts offense went back out on the field. Andrew Luck threw an incomplete pass to wide receiver Chester Rogers. They turned the ball over to the Texans on downs. Houston ran one play, a quick slant to DeAndre Hopkins, and the Texans were suddenly in field goal range. They kicked the field goal, ball game over. And I swear, I watched that game, and I think to myself, the Indianapolis Colts hate Andrew Luck. Like, they hate his guts. I don't know why they hate him, but they do. They never give him help. They never give him talent around him. And they do stupid things like this. I don't understand it. And when I hear Frank Reich say, "Hey, we're going to go for the win. We're not going to settle for the tie," I think when we get to the end of the season, he may look back and go, "Yeah, you know, not having that other loss might have helped us. What if it comes down to something as simple as that to be in the postseason? Yeah, not having that loss would have been huge." You can't put it all on one play. Doesn't make any sense. You know, I won't even say that I learned anything about the New England Patriots this weekend. They had that blowout win over the Miami Dolphins, but that's pretty much what I thought would happen. But I did learn that those Miami Dolphins, yeah, they're still the Dolphins we thought they were.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Yes, they started 3-0, but wins over Tennessee, the Jets, and the Raiders might not be the best gauge for a team to be a true contender in this league. Here's the bad thing for Miami. Not only did they get pounded 38-7 by the Patriots, they also lost their center, Daniel Kilgore. They lost cornerback Bobby McCain. And they already have Devontae Parker, AJ Derby, and Rashad Jones out. The Miami Dolphins are running low on players due to injuries. But don't worry, Miami fans. It's not all bad news. I have some good news for you. The Bills and the Jets, yeah, they still look like they're going to be awful. So once again, you can go 8-8 and finish second in the AFC East. Yay, second place in the AFC East. just like, I don't know, every other year. Hey, coming back, we will continue with what we learned from the weekend in sports. We learned that one NFL team is surprising us a little bit, and one college football fan base, yeah, they sort of embarrassed themselves on Saturday. So continuing with what we learned in the world of sports over the weekend, I learned that this just might be one of those weird, I don't know what it is, perfect storm kind of Cincinnati Bengals seasons. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like every other year, but maybe every 3 or 4 years, the Cincinnati Bengals just go out and they win more games than they probably should. And some of the games that they win, you look at and you say, I don't even know if they really deserve to win that game, but they just kind of did. And when they get one of these seasons, they go like 10-6. They go 11-5. And all of a sudden, the Bengals are in the postseason. And yes, we kind of know how that's going to go, but it seems like this season so far, things are breaking pretty good for the Cincinnati Bengals. We've talked already this year about how talented this team is. They always seem to have talent. They just don't always do anything with the talent. Yesterday, the Cincinnati Bengals went to Atlanta. Now, I still look at the Falcons, and I think they are going to be one of the tough outs the later into the season that we get. No, I still don't like their defense. The offense is pretty tough. And when the game's on the line, in their place, they're pretty tough to beat. But yesterday, the Bengals go down to Atlanta, and they beat the Falcons 37-36, somehow coming from behind at the very end. And who's making plays at the end? Is it Matt Ryan? Okay, of course not. It's Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton finds AJ Green in the end zone with just 7 seconds remaining in the game. Here is a clip from CBS.
Dalton, end zone again. Sliding catch in the end zone for the touchdown by AJ Green.
I mean, it's crazy. The Bengals are now 3-1 on the year. They have already beaten the Ravens, who look pretty solid, and the Falcons, who, like I said, I think they're going to be pretty solid. That's not too bad for Cincinnati. And yes, we already know, like I said, they're going to get to a big game, whether it's in the regular season or whether it's in the postseason. And what's going to happen? The same thing that happens every time Cincinnati's in a big game. They commit about 47 penalties. Dalton will throw about 5 interceptions, and they'll lose to a team that when you look at them on paper, you go, yeah, I feel like they're a better team than that team. Why'd they lose? And Marvin Lewis will get, I don't know, another contract extension. That's just how these things work. This might be another one of those seasons. Hey, Cincinnati's winning more than they're losing. They looked pretty good on Sunday. Moving over to college football, there were a few notable games over the weekend. And you know, now that we're getting further into the schedule, and now that we're getting into conference play, we are starting to see the herd of teams just thin out. As we see teams dropping off here and there, we just see a team, oh, you lost? Yeah, you're probably out. Oh, you lost? Yeah, you're probably out. Let's just thin everything out. So what did we learn in college football this week? And one of the things that I learned was that Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney, he almost lost his undefeated season with that whole benching senior Kelly Bryant for freshman Trevor Lawrence thing that he had going last week. We talked about it here on The Dose last week. Dabo announced, for some odd reason, that he was naming Lawrence, the freshman, the starter. And when Kelly Bryant found out about it, he announced he was immediately going to transfer out. On Saturday, the Tigers trailed Syracuse at home pretty much all day. And Trevor Lawrence gets knocked out of the game, making a dumb freshman move and taking a huge hit when all he needed to do was just step out of bounds. Why don't young quarterbacks understand that? Is it just the mentality of, you can't hurt me? I'm the starting quarterback. I don't know if you realize this. I'm the starting quarterback. Yeah, they want to knock you out, kid. And Trevor Lawrence goes and takes a huge hit that he doesn't need to take when he could have just stepped out of bounds. So he's gone for the game. He's done. The Tigers have to bring in now their third string quarterback, and they have to scratch and claw their way to a win. The Clemson Tigers scored the winning touchdown with just 41 seconds left. And I know that Dabo Swinney has gotten some credit for telling Bryant he was benched so that he could transfer out without burning his year. So he gets to keep that year and he can go somewhere else and he can play. And hey, that side of it, that's cool, I guess. Good for you. You're helping the kid out. But I also look at this and I think, why wouldn't you just keep Kelly Bryant as the starter and give Lawrence some playing time if Bryant struggles here and there? That move almost cost Clemson their undefeated season. And with their lack of a strength of schedule, if they lose that game to Syracuse on Saturday, I think they're probably done as far as the playoff. They didn't lose it, but it was close. Good news for Clemson, they survived, and the schedule really isn't very tough the rest of the way. And by the way, we also learned that for all the changes that Dabo Swinney has made at Clemson, he has completely transformed the Clemson Tigers. What an amazing job he has done remaking that program. Because remember, it used to be you were Clemsoning when you started to choke. That's gone now. No longer do the Clemson Tigers hope to win. Hey, we're just going to go out there, just kind of keep our fingers crossed, hope for the best. No, they expect to win now. That's how that program is built. That's how the players react. That's how the coaches react. They expect to win. But the Clemson Tiger fans, yeah, I don't think they've gotten that far yet. On Saturday, after their comeback win over unranked Syracuse, mind you, a number of Clemson fans stormed the field.
Are you kidding me?
You're the number three team in the country. You don't storm the field when an unranked team almost beats you. If anything, you stay in your seat and you give a standing ovation to Syracuse for giving you such a good game. You don't storm the field. You're not the little guy anymore. You're not Appalachian State. You're Clemson. You're supposed to be there. Act like you've been there before. And no. I don't care if it was your third string quarterback. I don't care if it was your fifth string quarterback. I don't care if it was your 12th string quarterback. You're Clemson. They're Syracuse. You expect to win. Ugh, Clemson fans. Honestly, I was embarrassed for you running out on the field. That was not a good look. Also on Saturday, we learned that the West Virginia Mountaineers, they should probably be a top 10 team. Yesterday when the polls came out, they have the Mountaineers at number 9. Hey, Dana Holgerson's squad is now 4-0. They have wins over Tennessee. It's okay. They have a win over Kansas State. They're not looking so great this year. And on Saturday, they handled number 25 Texas Tech. Quarterback Will Grier is throwing for nearly 400 yards per game. West Virginia is averaging 42 points per game. And here is some better news for those couch-burning fans out in West Virginia. The next three games are Kansas at home, at Iowa State, and Baylor. You're going to pick up three easy wins before you go to Austin to face Texas. Hey, West Virginia has a real good shot of being 7-0 pretty easily, honestly. And then we'll see what they're made of, because then that final four games is going to be much tougher. But right now, West Virginia looks like a top 10 team. I'm not sure that I quite expect that. I expect them to be good. I didn't know if they'd be top 10 good. We also learned this weekend that yes, as much as we might not like to think about it, or as much as we might not want to admit it, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are a playoff contender. I know, it's kind of rough. Hey, they beat Stanford on Saturday 38-17. I don't actually know how good Notre Dame really is, but they're going to be a playoff contender because of how that schedule shapes up for them. Last week, head coach Brian Kelly, he also made a move at quarterback. He inserted junior Ian Book for struggling senior Brandon Wimbush, and you can see right away Book's the better player. He already has 7 touchdowns with 0 interceptions. So the Fighting Irish are now up to number 6 in the country, and here is their remaining schedule. At Virginia Tech. Okay, but maybe a challenge, but nothing too big. Pitt at home, Navy at home, at Northwestern, Florida State at home, which is now looking like a cakewalk, Syracuse at home, and at USC to finish up the year. That's a very manageable schedule for Notre Dame. That's the good news. Here's the bad news for Notre Dame. They lost starting offensive guard and co-captain Alex Bars for the season with a knee injury. That definitely hurts. And here's one more fact that could hurt Notre Dame. They're that independent. They have refused to join a conference. That could actually come back to bite them this season. Because imagine, if it is close, right around the 4th, 5th, 6th place teams in the country, and after the regular season ends, a Big 5 team that is sitting right in that same area goes and wins a conference championship game while Notre Dame is, I don't know, sitting at home watching Rudy for the 500th time. Which team are you taking to the playoff? Yeah, the one that played in their conference championship. So Notre Dame is a contender, but they may need some help from some other teams dropping off. One more thing I learned in the world of college football this weekend, I learned that benching Kyler Murray, yeah, it didn't cost the Oklahoma Sooners one single bit on Saturday. You know, head coach Lincoln Riley, he sat his starting quarterback for the first series of their game against Baylor for being late to practice one day last week. And yes, I know, it's a very low-risk move doing that against Baylor. But, I mean, it does let Kyler Murray know, hey, dude, you're a quarterback. You're expected to be a leader. Go out there and be a leader like you should. And Kyler Murray responded the way a head coach would want him to respond. No pouting, no whining, no coming in flat and not prepared. Kyler Murray threw for 432 yards and 6 touchdowns against Baylor once he did get in the game. And don't look now, but the Oklahoma Sooners are right back in the thick of the hunt for the playoff once again. They are now number 7 in the country. They still have 3 ranked teams left on their schedule, and the Big 12 championship game would also be out there if they make it all the way through. Could the Oklahoma Sooners, without Baker Mayfield, still make that push to the college football playoff? Hey, they've got as good a chance as anyone, and a good portion of the reason is because of the play of quarterback Kyler Murray. Hey, coming back, we need to finish up what we learned from the weekend in sports. You know, one NBA player, he proves to be less than a genius, and Team USA takes a butt-whooping at the Ryder Cup. USA! USA! Ugh. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. October's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Cursed, Haunted by Dark Spirits and Evil Creatures. Sorry, but it sounds like you've been cursed. Fight back against your regrettable fate with an exclusive collection of accursed gear. October's Loot Crate theme features items from Attack on Titan, Gremlins, Evil Dead 2, and American Horror Story. Looks like they are getting ready for Halloween over at Loot Crate. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate and choose from a huge selection of crates, a monthly subscription of crates, or just individual items. And they have so many things over there, they are sure to have exactly what you need. Of course, the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose each and every day. So continuing with what we learned from the weekend in sports, you know, the Ryder Cup did take place in France over the weekend. And for all of the excitement that Tiger Woods has created for golf this year, yeah, it didn't really matter in the Ryder Cup. Just 2 years after the Americans thought they had their Ryder Cup problems figured out, they finally win the cup, they beat Europe. Yeah, Europe reminded us on Sunday why it has absolutely owned us lately. Open champion Francesco Molinari was dominant. Tommy Fleetwood was also excellent. And Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson combined to go 0-6 in the tournament. And it wasn't just those two. Hey, Dustin Johnson is supposed to be the greatest player in the world. He went 1-3. Just a really sloppy weekend for Team USA. And hey, congrats to Europe. They're making this a habit. They seem to be winning this tournament every single time it comes around. One brief side note though, just some trivia out there for you to think about. Phil Mickelson now has 22 losses in this event, the most of any player in history on either side, Europe or the USA. Phil Mickelson with 22 losses. Do you know who has the second most? Yes, Tiger Woods with 21. Not a great weekend in the Ryder Cup for Team USA. Moving over to the NBA, And honestly, I'm just moving over really to the Cleveland Cavaliers because while LeBron James might be gone, the Cavs still found a way to be in the news this weekend. And no, it wasn't for anything good. First off, we learned that Cavaliers guard J.R. Smith, he might not be a very savvy businessman. Smith revealed on his Instagram account on Saturday that the NBA has threatened discipline for a tattoo that he got of a logo for Supreme, which is a New York-based streetwear company, I guess, on the back of his leg, if he doesn't cover up that tattoo for games this upcoming season. J.R. Smith posted this on Instagram. So I was informed today I would be fined every game if I don't cover up my Supreme tattoo on my legs during games. Of course, he punctuated the sentence with three crying, laughing emojis. These people in the league office are something else. Okay, so let's see if we have this straight. Dude paid for a tattoo that he will get fined if he shows, and I'm just going to go ahead and assume that the company is only going to pay him if he shows the tattoo. Of course, we know NBA rules prohibit players from displaying commercial logos. You can't do that on your body or in your hair. We've actually seen this take place before. Back in 2013, Iman Shumpert had an Adidas logo shaved in his hair. That had to go. Clear back in 2001, Rasheed Wallace had a temporary tattoo promoting a candy bar company. That had to go as well. JR, you have to know the rules. Like, everyone knows this. You can't do that. But you know, I was thinking about this. Here is maybe my bigger question. Why is J.R. Smith sponsored by a streetwear company? I mean, I know he's, I guess he's like a street guy. I don't know, but shouldn't like Timex or something get involved with J.R. Smith? I mean, I can just kind of see the commercial now. Do you know the time? J.R. Smith does now because he wears Timex. Hey, again, we just help people here at the Daily Dose. You're welcome, Timex. Feel free to use it. But it wasn't just J.R. Smith that got in the news this weekend, because we also learned that his teammate Tristan Thompson might be a little less bright than we thought he was. And that's saying something. I mean, if you know us here at The Dose, I don't know that we're signing Tristan up for any Mensa projects anytime soon. But over the weekend, my man Tristan dropped this knowledge on all of us. He says that even though LeBron James has moved on to Los Angeles, the Cleveland Cavaliers remain the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. What? Here's what Tristan said. We're still four-time Eastern Conference champions. So until you take us down from that, teams ain't got much to say. Boston, Philly, they ain't got much to say. Boston had home court game 7 and lost. Philly, you guys almost got swept. Toronto, we already know that story. So until someone takes us down, there's not much they can really say. I bet there is. And when I heard these comments, it kind of struck me. I don't know if you remember this. Maybe you're in elementary school or middle school or whatever. And there was that kid that hung out with the bully. That kid wasn't that tough, but he acted like he was tough because he hung out with the bully. Tristan Thompson, do you think folks are afraid of you for your 5.8 points a game? Because LeBron's not standing behind you anymore, cleaning up your mess. Like, now, it's you and J.R. Smith and his dumb tattoo with, I don't know, an ace bandage wrapped around it because he can't show it, standing in the alley facing Boston and Toronto and Philly and Indiana and Milwaukee and Washington. That's not the same as when LeBron was standing behind you with a bat with a nail sticking out of it. Yeah, good luck, Tristan Thompson, because this season might not go like you think it's going to go. In fact, this upcoming NBA season for the Cleveland Cavaliers, it might be uglier than your relationship with that Kardashian skank. Yikes, that's scary to think about. Hey, we've got a very busy week for you here at the Daily Dose. Mondays are always, they're just so busy that it seems like we need to talk a little more football tomorrow. We just might have to discuss some winners and losers from the weekend. Plus, we will be keeping an eye on those Major League Baseball tiebreakers. Should be a lot of fun to watch tonight. Hey, I have to say thank you so much for listening to The Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, it is very appreciated. And if you're not subscribed to The Daily Dose wherever you listen, please make sure you click that subscribe or follow button so you won't miss a single episode. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday.